Actually, first, before we launch into this tonight, Father, we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord God, for your word. Lord God, we thank you that because we have your word, Father God, that we can't be led into error. And so, Father, we just ask and pray, Lord God, as we read your word, that the same Holy Spirit that authored the word, Father, will take the word and make it real and make it plain and illuminate it to us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just humble our hearts right now. Lord God, we ask that you would settle our minds. Father God, that we would have ears to hear and hearts that are open and attentive to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us tonight, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we've been talking about, primarily about gifts of the Spirit. And we just briefly to recap, we talked about the dispensation that we live in is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We talked about in the Old Testament, it was primarily God the Father, or God as he was revealed in the Old Testament. We'll not get into that, but it was primarily people thought about God the Father. In the New Testament, it was all about Jesus. But you know, Jesus Christ went back to heaven, and one of the last statements he made to his disciples was, he said, it's better for you that I go to heaven and that the Holy Spirit comes. And so it's better for us that Jesus is in heaven and the Holy Spirit is here. Why is that so? Well, Jesus was limited. He was one man. He was limited to one place. He was limited to one region. He was limited to the amount of people that he could minister to at any one time. But he said when the Holy Spirit comes, that he wouldn't be external from us. He said the Holy Spirit will be in you. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. When we ask Jesus Christ into our lives to be our Lord and Savior, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit came to do several things. The first thing he came to do is he came to reveal Jesus to us. The second thing he came to do is he came to be our comforter, our teacher, and our guide. But one of the things that he came to do is he came to endue the church with power so that we can be witnesses unto him in all the world. And when we talk about being endued with power, something we need to understand is that Christianity is not a religion. And I have to stress that. Christianity is not a religion. A religion is a set of man-made rules and regulations. Now let me address that for a moment, because there are churches that have man-made rules and regulations, but that's not Christianity. That's church's rules and regulations. Christianity, as Jesus has laid it, is not about rules and regulations. It's about relationship. It's about relationship. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. It's got nothing to do with rules and regulations. It's about a relationship. And you know, when you enter into a relationship with somebody, be it a husband or a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever it is, but when you get into that relationship, how many of you know if people start to lay down the law, this is the rules, this is the regulations, you start to feel trapped and constrained. And that's not a very nice relationship to be in. And Jesus doesn't want us to be in a relationship that's confined with rules and regulations. He wants us to be in a relationship, a love relationship, where we love the Lord, where he loves us, and where we please him because we love him. Understand? And we need to please Jesus because we love him. Because we love him for everything that he's done for us. And so Christianity is not a religion. But you know something else? Christianity is supernatural. And you know the interesting thing about that is, because Christianity is supernatural, it sets it apart from all the other religions. Because all the other religions are not supernatural. You know, if you go back and look at these other religions, none of these other guys claim to create the world. But our God claimed to create the world. None of these other guys, these other religions, none of their leaders have ever said, you know, that I love you so much that I'm going to come down and I'm going to become man for you. That I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die on the cross for you. None of the other religions said that. Because the other religions are not supernatural. Do you know what they are? They're just natural. But Christianity is a supernatural religion. Or a supernatural faith. A supernatural relationship with Jesus. It's not a religion. But it's supernatural. Supernatural. And the fact that it's supernatural is because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God resident on the inside of each and every one of us. And you see, for the most part, us as Christians and us as believers, we have no concept that the Spirit of God is on the inside of us, firstly. And because we have no concept that the Spirit of God is on the inside of us, we don't know how we're supposed to operate or how we're supposed to flow with the Holy Spirit. And we have no concept. You know, if you go back and you look at the main temptations that we see in the Bible, there are two really main temptations that we find in the Bible. And the first one that we find happened with Adam, and it happened in the Garden of Eden, where the serpent actually came to Eve and said to Eve, "Did God really say?" And that's one of the main temptations that every one of us face today. Did God really say? In other words, can you believe the Bible? I know God said it, but can you believe it? And you know, whenever something comes up to deny the Bible or to attack the Bible in that way, did God really say, it's from the enemy. Because that's what he's been doing right from the very start. Attacking the Word of God. That's the reason why we always need to stick with the Word of God. First temptation. Second temptation happened in the time of Jesus. Jesus went down into the Jordan River. He was baptized. When he was baptized, it says the heavens were opened. The Spirit of God descended like a dove upon him. And Jesus was taken up straight away into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the first temptation the devil came to Jesus is, are you really the Son of God? Second temptation. Doubt who you are. You see, those are the two main temptations that the devil uses. Doubt the Word of God and doubt who you are. Well then, let's ask the question, who are you then? Who are you? Who are you? And you know, somebody came to see me here a couple of weeks ago, and we sat out in the foyer one, it was a Tuesday morning, and he said, you know, the question that troubles me, the question that's uppermost in my thoughts and in my heart is, who am I? And you see, right from the very beginning, when God created Adam, he created Adam a little muddy man on the ground. And the scripture says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, or he breathed into his nostrils the spirit of life, the Holy Spirit. And when he breathed into man the Holy Spirit, man became a living being. And man was always meant to be the dwelling place of God. God was always meant to dwell in the heart of man. That's what man was created for. He was created for fellowship. Right, the very first act, man was dead in effect on the ground. God made this little muddy man on the ground. And that's all he was, just a little muddy man, until God got down on his knees and he breathed into the man. And when he breathed into the man, he breathed some of his spirit. And that's what gave life to the man. And man became the dwelling place of God. And that has always been God's intention for man, was that he would dwell on the inside of man. We talked about, for the last number of Sundays, we talked about the tabernacle and we talked about the holy place. And when we talked about them, we talked about how God wanted his presence among his people. And the children of Israel didn't want God's presence. And then we talked about God said, make me a tabernacle that I may dwell among them, because he wanted to be among his people. But then it came to the New Testament. And Jesus said, when I go back to heaven, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit again, but this time he's going to be in you. And you know what that is? That's us being brought back to the very place that Adam was in the beginning. Adam was created to have the Spirit of God on the inside of him, and now when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we get born again, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of us. But you know what we hear in our ears all the time? Are you really a child of God? Does the Spirit of God really live on the inside of you? Absolutely. Yes, he does. I am a son of God. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. And you see, we need to stand up and take our stand as to who we are in Christ. We talked about on Sunday morning, we talked about that brass laver. And we talked about how the brass laver was made of mirrors. And what the mirrors did was it showed us firstly who we were as we come to Christ, showed us all the things that we need to change, but then it showed us who we are in Christ. And when we read through the scriptures, particularly the Pauline epistles, those 13 epistles that were written by the Apostle Paul, when we read through those, it reveals to us who we are. It reveals to us that we are washed, that we are cleansed, that we are sanctified. It reveals to us that we are filled with the Spirit of God. It reveals to us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All these things. It reveals them all to us. But you know, the biggest problem that we have is we won't own up to who we are in Christ. We won't own up to it. We won't stand and say, I am a man of God. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. Do you know that in my spirit man is wall-to-wall Holy Spirit? wall to wall, Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. And you see, we need to understand who we are, because it's only when we understand who we are that out of that, out of the overflow of that, we begin to walk in the Spirit. Do you understand? Because if we don't know that we're spiritual beings, how can we ever walk in the Spirit? Do you understand? And so here we are, we're back to that place where the Spirit of God is dwelling on the inside of us. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we've read this for the last few weeks, it says in verse 31, it says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. The word covet we talked about is to have a strong and an intense desire for something. Now we know that when we read the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his ox, nor his manservant, or his maidservant. And so the scripture tells us not to covet in that sense, not to covet what belongs to somebody else. But you know what he tells us, that we are allowed to covet. We are allowed to covet the gifts of the Spirit because they've been given to us. They belong to us. Anybody been coveting any gifts of the Spirit this week? The Bible says we're supposed to be coveting them. We're supposed to have a strong, deep, intense desire for the gifts of the Spirit, that the Spirit of God will be manifest through us. And you see, we talked about last week, he says that the Spirit of God, or the gifts of the Spirit, has been given to every man to profit everyone. And so it's to my profit when you operate in the gift of the Spirit, and it's to your profit when I manifest the gift of the Spirit. But what happens so often in church is it's left to the person who stands in the front and let him operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and we're just going to sit here and watch. And you see, Christianity, for the large part, has become a spectator sport. You get up there and you perform, and we'll sit here and watch you. And you never see that more than when we operate in gifts of healings, where we bring people to the front and we say, if you're sick in your body this morning, come and get healed. And as soon as we bring people to the front, everybody sits down. And now it's become a spectator sport. But in actual fact, what everybody is supposed to be doing is you're supposed to be believing God with the person who's standing here, because you might be standing here next week. And if you're standing here next week and you're believing God and saying, God, I need to be healed, you don't want to look around and see everybody sitting having a chat. You need to be saying, hey, guys, get up and believe God with me. Do you understand? And we're all supposed to be flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. We're all supposed to be believing God. And it's become a spectator sport. And dare I say, sometimes we become fat and lazy. And we don't want to exercise our spiritual gifts. In actual fact, we can't even be bothered to find out sometimes what our spiritual gifts are. But you know what? If God's seen fit to give us one, then the least we can do is go and find out what it is and use it for the purpose that God gave it to us for. And that's the reason why we're talking about these things, because as we said, we're going to go through the gifts of the Spirit and we're going to talk about them. And so the New Testament reveals Christianity as a supernatural way of life. This is supposed to be supernatural. And you know, let me ask you a question this way, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody, because you know, we always say when we point one finger out that way, we point four back this way. So I'm not trying to condemn anybody. So everybody smile and say, he's not condemning me. I'm not beating you or whipping you. But listen, how many of you here are born again? Many of you here are born again. Right. Let me ask you about the service, right? You see, if we took every one of us out of here, and we brought in a whole bunch of unbelievers, and we put a bunch of unbelievers sitting here, what would change? What would change about the service? What would be different about it? And you see, if our answer is it would be exactly the same, then there's a problem. There's a serious problem. You understand? Am I being too hard, Stephen? You have to say that. But you understand, if we brought in a bunch of unbelievers and they sat here and nothing changed, you say, but what's different? What's different between us and them? Do you know what's meant to be different is we're meant to be supernatural beings, having a supernatural relationship, having a spiritual relationship with God. And I didn't say that to condemn anybody, but you know, we need to think about these things. We can't all be nice messages where we jump around and kick the lights out and whatever else. Sometimes we have to talk about these things. Let's read these list of gifts before I dig my hole any deeper. Let's read from verse 1 here. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, he says, "I would not have you ignorant." Now, the word ignorant there, you know, sometimes we talk to people and say, "You're ignorant." That's not the kind of ignorant he's talking about. He's talking about without understanding. And he says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, he says, I wouldn't have you without understanding. I want you to understand. I want you to know. But here's the question. Do we understand spiritual gifts? Because he said that he doesn't want us to be without understanding. And so if he doesn't want us to be without understanding, then we need to understand the things that are written here. We need to understand the gifts of the Spirit. And we need to flow in them. And you know what happens so often is because we don't understand them, we don't understand what they are, they're actually manifest sometimes or time to time in our life, and we don't even know we're manifesting them. And there may even be times when the Holy Spirit is trying to flow through us and we're trying to put it down because we don't understand it. Maybe the Holy Spirit has given us a word and we won't speak it because we're afraid that it's wrong or that it's not from God. And yet the Holy Spirit is trying to speak through us. So he says here in verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking of by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now verse 3, and I'm not going to spend any time on it because I explained it to you a few weeks ago, but just for clarity, people think sometimes that anyone who says Jesus is Lord is spiritual. And that's not what the verse is teaching. Well, it says right there, if somebody says Jesus is Lord, that's by the Holy Spirit. No, he's talking about spiritual gifts. And we said, you know, you could go out on the street and you could find somebody who's, you know, doped up to the eyeballs on cocaine or heroin or whatever it is, and you could say, "I'll give you £100 if you say Jesus is Lord." You know what? He'll say it. Was that by the Spirit? No. What he's talking about here is people that are flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Anyone flowing in the gift of the Spirit will not curse Jesus. Anybody who curses Jesus, no matter what they tell you, they are not in the Holy Spirit. It is just not the case. And there are cults out there, and these cults claim to be Christian. And yet they will tell you that they're flown in gifts of the Spirit, and they will turn around and tell you Jesus is not Lord, that Jesus is just an angel or things like that. And you know straight away they're not in the Spirit because they're going against what the Word of God says. Do you understand? So that's what he's talking about here. Now verse 4, it says there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So he's talking here about gifts of the Spirit, administrations are how the church is run per se, and then diversities of operations, which is ministry gifts. And so there are three different types of things, but we'll talk about those a little bit later. But verse 7 here, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man." The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Is there anybody here that falls into that category? Well, then we should be having a manifestation of the Spirit. And then it says to profit with all, or to profit those around us. And so if God gives you a gift of the Spirit, it's for the edification of the body of Christ. It's so that we can all be built up, so that we can all go on together in God. Verse 8, it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." Now it says here, the word of wisdom. And I just want to address that for a moment, because does anybody's Bible say anything different? Just those few words there, the word of wisdom. Has anybody got a different? A message of wisdom is one. Yeah, well, do you know what the funny thing about it is? In the Greek, the word the is not there. The word the is not in the Greek. So because that word of wisdom, that is not there, it actually makes it a word of wisdom. And I'll explain what's the difference between that in a moment. What's the difference in a word of wisdom as opposed to the word of wisdom? And I suppose really the main difference is the word of wisdom is just a once-off word that you get from God. But our word of wisdom can be a word here, a word there. It can be at different times and at different places. But when you say that word of wisdom, it's like a one-off thing. So the word there is not there. But then he says here, our word of wisdom. To another, a word of knowledge. And it's the same. The word there is not there. By the same Spirit. To another, faith. By the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. Now it says here, gifts of healing. The word healing is actually plural as well. It's gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. The word discerning there is plural as well. It's discernings. So it's more than one. It's discernings of spirits. So it happens on a continual basis. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man. Again, it says dividing to every man severally as he wills. And four of these gifts are plural in nature. And we're going to talk about these just for a moment. There's gifts of healings. There's workings of miracles. There's discernings of spirits. And there are kinds of tongues. Now, when it says here, kinds of tongues, then if it says kinds of tongues, you know there's more than one kind. Because what happens so often in denominational churches is they try and lump it all in together as if there's only one kind of tongues. And the Bible says, don't do it. And that is not the case. The Bible here says there are kinds of tongues. And so there's several different kinds of tongues. Recognizing then that they are plural in nature gives us an important understanding to how they work. And these gifts of the Spirit fall into three categories, and we'll talk about those for a moment. The first category is the revelation gifts. Revelation gifts. And the revelation gifts are a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And these are revelation gifts because they reveal something that you couldn't possibly know. And we talked about that last week, how people call out something in the Spirit. Aubrey does it here sometimes. They'll say, somebody's here and you've got a pain in your back. That's a gift of the Spirit. That's a word of knowledge. Because it's something he couldn't possibly know. Discernings of spirits is another one. Somebody could come into the church and their whole focus for coming in or their whole attention could be on disrupting, could be on causing harm. It could be for something. And they'll walk through the door and somebody will go, you're here for the wrong reason. And the reason you're here is for this. And it's a discerning of spirits. They discern what spirit the person is of. And so they're revelation gifts because they reveal something. Then what we have next is the power gifts. And the power gifts are faith, gifts of healing, and workings of miracles. And these are the power gifts because they actually get things done. They actually get things done. Gifts of faith, gifts of healings, and workings of miracles. We call these the power gifts. And then the last category here is vocal gifts. And the vocal gifts are different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And these are vocal gifts because what they're doing is they actually give voice to the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit wants to give a message to the church and he uses somebody's vocal cords per se to do it. Where the Holy Spirit speaks something and it comes out vocally. And thus saith the Lord to this church. We had one here a few weeks ago that God said that he has built the foundation and now he's about to build the walls and he's going to build this place, a strong tower. And what it was a vocal gift. It was a word of prophecy. And that's the gifts of the Spirit. I want to talk about ministry gifts. And I know I touched on this last week, but as I was looking over it again, there was a few things that I just didn't explain properly and maybe I should have. So I want to talk about the difference between ministry gifts and spiritual gifts. So if you look with me in your Bible first in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to explain really, and I know I did it last week, I explained the difference between a ministry gift and a spiritual gift, but I want to give you three basic differences. And if you're taking notes, if you're writing these things down, it will be a help to you. Three basic differences between a ministry gift and a spiritual gift, because they're completely different. And in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And we talked about first with the ministry gift. The ministry gift is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And the ministry gift is actually the person. The person is the gift. Right? The person is the gift. Because you can't separate the gift, in a sense, from the person. Like when he said here, it says he gave some apostles. He didn't say he gave to some apostleship. You understand? He didn't say he gave to some apostleship like it was a gift. He says he gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists. He gave some pastors. He gave some teachers. And so the gift is wrapped up in the person, and you can't separate the person from the gift. Basically, if the gift is gone, or if the person is gone, the gift goes with him. Do you understand? And so the ministry gift, firstly, is wrapped up in a person. And the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher are actually Jesus' ministry gift to the body of Christ. These are Jesus' ministry gift to the body of Christ. These are the people that Jesus has put in the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. And these people that Jesus Christ has put in place are the ministry gifts to the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul was Jesus' ministry gift to the Gentiles. He was called the Apostle to the Gentiles. And so that whole body of people called the Gentiles, they received a ministry gift. His name was the Apostle Paul. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. The difference between a ministry gift then and a spiritual gift is a spiritual gift is given to a person, and it's a momentary thing where they take something and they speak it in a moment of time and then it's over. It doesn't change the person. It doesn't change their character. It doesn't set them apart for anything. It's just somebody that God uses for a split second and says, "Speak that, okay," and then it's over. Do you understand? It doesn't make them an apostle or a prophet or a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher. It's just a gift of the Spirit that God uses for a moment. And that's basically the difference between them. 1 Corinthians 12:8 again. We talked about here, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And so with the ministry gifts, the person is the gift, but with the spiritual gifts, the person has the gift. And so in one, the ministry gifts, the person is the gift, but in spiritual gifts, the person receives the gift. And they receive a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or healings, or something like that. You understand? And so one is the person, and the other one is the gift is given to the person. So that's the difference number one. Second, with the ministry gift, every aspect of the person's total ministry makes up the gift. Let me explain that to you. When somebody is called to be an apostle, that's their life's work. That's what they give their life to. That's what they do all the time. That's what they do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. When somebody is called to be an apostle, that's what they do. They can't do anything else. But you see, when somebody receives a spiritual gift, it's only for a split second. And you know, a spiritual gift, when somebody has a word of knowledge, like we said, Aubrey a few weeks ago, he said, somebody here with a pain in their back, that was the gift over. That's it. Yep. Took all of 5 seconds for that ministry gift. And so the difference between a ministry gift in the sense of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, that's their life's work. That's what they give themselves to. That's what they do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But then when God gives a spiritual gift, it can last 5 seconds. It can last 2 minutes. Do you understand? And so they're completely different. One, the gift is the person. The ministry gift is the person. But the spiritual gift is given to a person to edify somebody. And it's very brief. So it's just a brief manifestation. When we talk about a ministry gift, as in a prophet, evangelist, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, the apostle Paul likens it sometimes to an athlete. Because he says, you know, an athlete strives for the mastery. An athlete goes out and trains every day. An athlete goes out and, you know, works hard at his profession. And you see some of these athletes, and they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they eat the right diet, and then they go training, and they go running, and then they come back and they take an ice bath, and then they go and do something else. And their whole day is consumed with being an athlete. Well, the ministry gifts are the same. I get up early in the morning. First thing I do when I get up is spend an hour praying maybe, and then get into the Word of God. Spend 4 or 5 hours studying the Word of God. Then I'll go and talk to some people, and then I'll go and study some more. And my whole day is consumed with being a pastor teacher. That's what consumes me all the time. But then somebody has, say Aubrey operates in a Word of Knowledge. But he doesn't sit there thinking all day, working on a Word of Knowledge. He just stands here in the front of the church, and the Holy Spirit drops something in his spirit, and then he just calls it out. And there's a difference between a ministry gift and a spiritual gift. They're two completely different things. That's not saying that Aubrey doesn't have a ministry gift, and I'm not saying that he doesn't, but I'm just talking about the gift that the spiritual gift that he flows in. And so, a word of wisdom happens for a few seconds. Somebody gets a revelation of something, and then he just goes and does it, and it's just over in a couple of seconds. The spiritual gift is almost like a flash of lightning. It's there, and then it's gone. And here's the third one. So let me just recap the two of these. The first one, the person is the gift in terms of a ministry gift, or the gift is given to a person. That's the difference in the first one. The person is the gift in the terms of apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But in terms of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the person receives the gift. The second thing is the ministry gift works at it constantly. It's their life's work. They work at it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whereas the other one is momentary. Just receive it in a period of time. And here's the third one. And this is an interesting one here. Because in terms of a ministry gift, in terms of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, character is absolutely essential. Character is absolutely essential. If somebody is going to operate in an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher, they have to have character. Because if their character is wrong, if they're running around doing the same as everybody else, they can't operate in their gift. But you know something about a spiritual gift? Character is not a prerequisite. Isn't that interesting? When God gives a spiritual gift to somebody, your character is not a prerequisite. If you take the Corinthian church, the apostle Paul says, you flow in the gifts more than anybody. And yet he was constantly rebuking them for being carnal. He says, I can't even talk to you like you're spiritual. You're just carnal. You're just babes in Christ. And there was words of knowledge, words of wisdom, healings flying all over the place. And so the character is not necessary for a spiritual gift. But here's the key. When God gives you a spiritual gift, it's your responsibility to change your character. And that's the difference. The character is not a prerequisite. But when you have received a responsibility, when God bestows you with a spiritual gift, it is your responsibility to clean up your character, to line up your character with the gift that God has given you. Because if you don't, then what you're doing is you're actually despising the gift that God has given you. Because God longs to flow out of a holy vessel. And let me just say this. People come here sometimes, and they want to flow in words of whatever they want. But you know what? if their character doesn't line up, if your character doesn't line up, then why should we who work on our character day by day, who get up in the morning, spend time praying, spend time reading, spend time renewing our minds, spend time trying to live our lives right before God, why should we stand here and listen to people who want to bring a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom who don't live the lifestyle? And so if you want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, then your lifestyle needs to line up. And God will give you the gift. God will still give you the gift. As we said, character is not a prerequisite. But when God gives you a gift, he expects you to be responsible and to line yourself up with his word. Do you understand? God expects us to be responsible. God doesn't want us to come into the body of Christ and just to live any old way we want and expect the spiritual gifts to flow through us. He expects us to change. Paul said over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, he says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And these are the ministry gifts. These are the gifts that Christ has given to the body of Christ. They're called ministry gifts. They're wrapped up in a person. But then he talks about over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that somebody may prophesy. Now when somebody prophesies, it's a gift of the Spirit. It's given to the person. It's given momentarily. Their character is not a prerequisite. But just because they prophesy doesn't make them a prophet. Do you understand? Because people think sometimes, I gave a word of prophecy one time several years ago, I must be a prophet. No, that was just a word of prophecy that God or the Holy Spirit of God gave through you, but it doesn't make you a prophet. You have to be called into that office. Do you understand? And so sometimes people think just because they prophesied that they're a prophet, and that is not necessarily so. If God gives you a supernatural gift, then it has to affect your character. Because it increases your responsibility, then you have to conduct yourself in a manner that's worthy of the gift that God has given to you. You have to. If God gives you a spiritual gift, your character and your conduct has to line up. And you know whose responsibility that is? That's your responsibility. And the reason why I'm saying this to you is because people think sometimes, and I've seen it, where people will operate in something, a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, or they'll operate in a word of prophecy or something like that, and they think just because they operated in it that it makes them spiritual, but it doesn't. Because as I said, the Corinthians operated in it all the time, and Paul says, you're not spiritual, you're just carnal. And operating in a spiritual gift doesn't make you spiritual. That's the point that I'm trying to make. Operating in a spiritual gift doesn't make you spiritual. Do you know what makes you spiritual? Is your action has to line up with the gift that God has given you. And that's every one of our responsibilities. Every one of us are supposed to be lining up with the Word of God. We said there, actually, I forgot to say this, but I said having a word of prophecy doesn't make you a prophet. And you know how I know that, and give you a real simple example. Because you know Balaam's donkey got a word of prophecy, but that didn't make him a prophet. Do you understand? He got a word of prophecy, but that didn't make him a prophet. And you know what that shows you? That you can be an ass and God will still give you a word of prophecy. Do you understand? Because he gave Balaam's donkey a word of prophecy. So it's not hard for God to give a spiritual gift to somebody. And giving a spiritual gift to somebody doesn't make him spiritual. Balaam's donkey was not spiritual. Anybody think he was spiritual? No. Right. Another way to look at the gifts and the character is we need to understand that spiritual gifts are one thing, but spiritual fruit is quite another thing. And I know Stephen touched on spiritual fruit here a few weeks ago. Spiritual gifts are one thing, but spiritual fruit are something completely different. And let me just read the fruit of the Spirit here. Look with me real quick in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at me in verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, or faithfulness, it says in the New King James, I think, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no law. And so here he mentions nine fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you know what the difference between these are? And if you could think of it this way, and I'm not trying to belittle the spiritual gifts, so don't take it to be this way. I'm not trying to belittle the spiritual gifts. But if you can understand them this way, the spiritual gifts, in a sense, are like the wee baubles, the wee decorations on a Christmas tree. And the fruit is like real fruit that grows on an apple tree. Do you understand? Because one of them is momentary and it looks good. But one of them took time to develop. And the baubles on a Christmas tree, you know, somebody just stuck that on there and there it is and it looks great. And that was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes that gift of the Spirit and he gives it to you and it makes you look good. But the other one, the fruit that appears on a fruit tree, do you know it took years for it to develop that tree to that stage where it began to bear fruit? And that's the difference between them. So the point is, spiritual gifts don't make you spiritual. What makes you spiritual is growing up in the things of God, maturing in the things of the Spirit, and producing the fruit of the Spirit. That's what makes you spiritual. Look back with me here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so we need to develop the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, if God gives us a gift, if God gives us a spiritual gift, or the Spirit gives us a spiritual gift, we have a responsibility with that gift to cultivate our own character. That's what he wants us to do. Watch what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Speak with the men, tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. He says, you're just a tinkling brass or a sounding cymbal. And you know, an interesting way of doing that, or of explaining that, you know, have you ever seen somebody and they operate in one of the gifts? And sometimes they get puffed up with it or whatever, and they think they're great just because they have a spiritual gift. And yet the people outside, they have all these kind of things. See, your man thinks he's so spiritual, not spiritual at all. And everybody knows that there's a falseness to it. Yes, you might have had a gift of the Spirit, but you've got no character to back it up. And you know what actually happens, and this is a sad thing, but you know what actually happens, is somebody operates in a spiritual gift, but because their character doesn't line up with it, nobody wants to listen to them. Nobody wants to listen to them. And what you'll actually find is somebody will try and give a word, and you know, as soon as they do you know what the congregation does? Because they don't want to listen to them, because they know that their lifestyle doesn't line up. But you know what the key is? The key is that when God gives us a spiritual gift, it's our responsibility to make our lives line up with the Word of God. Our character has to line up. We have to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we don't develop the fruit of the Spirit, he says we may have the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, but if we don't have the fruit of the Spirit, he says we're just a sounding gong or a tinkling cymbal. Nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to listen. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not love, he says, I'm nothing. Do you know why? Because nobody will listen to you. Nobody will listen to you. See, if you run around and you're doing all kinds of stuff that's wrong, and you might understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and have all faith, and you know what? You'll get no one to follow you. Say, I wouldn't listen to your man. See his lifestyle. Waste of time. And so we need to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Bet you're all really excited about this sermon, aren't you? You're all really, yes, that's it, Mike. Come on. Give it to us.
I'll go easy on you next week. I promise. No, Stephen will go easy on you next week. Stephen's going to preach on love, aren't you, Stephen?
And so we need to pursue the gifts of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is what really empowers the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit empowers the gifts of the Spirit. And the reason why they empower them is because when people see the kind of character that we have, they'll be drawn to us and they'll receive the gifts of the Spirit from us. And the Apostle Paul says here in chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. He says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Because he's saying you can't have one without the other. You have to have the fruit as well as the gift. And so you have to cultivate the fruit. Cultivate the fruit in your life. And when you cultivate the fruit in your life, then when you pursue the spiritual gifts, God will, or the Holy Spirit will give us the gifts. Can't be one-sided. We need both. We need the gifts and love. Let me just say something else to you as well. And this is a difficult one in a sense, but in a different sense. Sometimes we struggle to say that we have a spiritual gift. And you know, if God gives you a gift of something, it's very hard to stand and say, I have a gift of healing. Because if you stand and say that, everybody then goes, your man is just full of pride. But the reality of it is, if God has given you a gift, we need to actually acknowledge the gift that he's given us. And that's one of the things that we're really, really bad at doing in the church. If God has given us a gift, we have to acknowledge the gift. Because if we don't acknowledge the gift, firstly, the gift won't flow through us. But secondly, how are people supposed to know that we have a particular gift if we don't acknowledge it? And so God will give somebody, a word of prophecy. And so then somebody said, do you operate in a word of prophecy? Oh, no, I don't operate in a word of prophecy. No, you just did. So you need to say, yes, I operate in a word of prophecy. Because occasionally God will give me a word of prophecy. Do you operate in the gift of healing? Yes, I operate in the gift of healing because occasionally the Spirit of God through me will heal people. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're really bad at doing that, but that's something that needs to change. When the Spirit of God is developing a gift in us, we have to acknowledge the gift. Because you know what the scripture says over in Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6? It says that the outworking of our faith becomes effectual through the acknowledging of every good thing that is in us in Christ. And it only manifests itself when we begin to acknowledge it. And when we begin to acknowledge it, then God begins to manifest it. You understand? And so we have to get to the stage where if the Spirit of God is moving through us, and I'm the worst in the world at it too, but if the Spirit of God is moving through us, then we have to acknowledge it and say, yes, the Spirit of God uses me in healing. And you see, one of the things that we say all the time is, do you have the gift of healing? Oh, no, brother, I don't have the gift of healing. That's all God. No, God has given gifts, spiritual gifts to people. And when you lay hands on people, people get healed. And that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And we need to start acknowledging it and we need to start saying it. And now I'm really speaking to myself. 1 Corinthians 12:7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. You know what it says here? The manifestation of the Spirit is given. Well, if it's given, that means you have it. You understand? So if the manifestation of the Spirit is given, Aubrey, do you operate in a word of knowledge? Yes, you do. Do you know why? Because it was given. And so if it was given, you operate in it. Do you understand? And we need to start to acknowledge what we do. Pastor Stephen is the same. Pastor Stephen operates in the word of knowledge and he operates in the word of prophecy. Do you operate in the word of prophecy, Stephen? Absolutely, because the Spirit of God has given it to you. We need to start acknowledging that we have spiritual gifts, or that the Spirit of God flows through us to manifest these things. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, I'll just read it to you. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So it says that we have different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. Well, if it's given to us, then we have it. And we operate in it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7, it says, each of us has his own gift from God. Each of us has his own gift from God. And you know what's amazing? Speaking again of myself, I can stand here and I can tell you no problem that that I am a ministry gift to the body of Christ, that God has called me to be a pastor and he has called me to be a teacher. But then when you get over to spiritual gifts, I begin to choke on it. Do you know what I mean? But we have to learn. Why would you say that you have one, but you won't say that you have the other? If you have a gift, if you flow in a gift, then we need to say that we have it. 1 Corinthians 7:7, it says, but every man has his proper gift of God. Every man. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30. Watch this one here. It says, have all the gifts of healing? And the answer to that is the rhetorical question, and the answer is no. But you notice here when he said, do all have the gifts of healing? And the answer is no, but that means that some do. You understand? He says, do all have the gifts of healing? No, well then it means some do. Some do have the gift of healing. Do all speak with tongues? And he's talking here about prophecy. And the answer to that is no, but then it means some do. Do all have the gift of interpretation? The answer is no, they don't all have it, but some do. But if you do, you've got to start to acknowledge it. Anybody here interprets? Yes, I do. Do you understand? And so we need to recognize that it's the will of God that we have these gifts. And when we have these gifts, we need to stand up and say that we have them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. And when he says here, covet earnestly the best gifts, then you know that when you covet the gifts, you're clearly in the will of God for your life. Because that's what God says. When you're looking for the gifts, when you're flowing in the gifts, when you're manifesting the gifts, you are in the will of God for your life because he's the one who says covet them. He's the one who says earnestly desire them. He's the one who says pursue them. He's the one who says I'll give them to you. Why would we back away from him then and say I don't flow in any gift? When he says, when he's trying to give us the gift. Just a couple more scriptures real quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul told Timothy not to neglect the gift that was on the inside of him. Do not neglect the gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands, he says. And so if the gift is in us, then we're not to neglect it. Well, how would we neglect it? Well, the very first way we would neglect it is by saying we don't have it, or by not operating in it. Then he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. See, he told them he already had the gift, but now he's saying stir it up. How do we stir it up? Well, we acknowledge it. We pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray in tongues. And we get our lifestyle, in a sense, to match up. We begin to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look with me here in verse 10. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. It says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And you know, the Apostle Paul here considered Timothy to have a gift of the Spirit. Or Peter, rather. He actually said that he had a gift of the Spirit. He says here that every man has received a gift. Every man has received a gift. And then he says, out of that, minister that gift. Well, how can you minister it if you don't acknowledge that you have it? And so when God gives us a gift, we need to recognize that we have a gift. All believers have distinct gifts. Some people stand there and say that we don't have a gift, but we need to acknowledge the gifts when we have them, when we flow in them. There's nothing to stop the Holy Spirit from manifesting any of the gifts in any of us. And you see, when we come here on a night like this, or come here on a Sunday morning, there's nothing to stop the Holy Spirit from manifesting a gift through any of us. Nothing to stop the Holy Spirit from ministering a gift through any single person in this building. Nothing to stop it. Now, in saying that, when somebody operates in a gift, God will more than likely continue to operate that same gift through that same person. And so if you have a gift of a word of knowledge, if you have a gift of healing, if you have a gift of prophecy, then what you will actually find and see that God will use you continually in that gift. But there's no reason why God can't give a particular gift to anybody. Give you a word here on a Sunday morning. Give you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a word of prophecy. There's no reason whatsoever why God can't do it. Look with me in, we'll finish with this here. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 3. You know, something we need to understand, God doesn't limit the gifts to just one manifestation. We're entitled to eagerly desire the gifts, and that's gifts plural, of the Holy Spirit. What was the reason that we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit for in the first place? Does anybody know? Why did we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And the reason why you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so that we will be endued with power so that we can minister on behalf of Him, that we can edify the body of Christ. That was the reason why the Holy Spirit was given. That we might minister on behalf of Him and edify the body of Christ, or make us effective members of the body of Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. And so we all need to flow in our gifts so that we can all edify each other. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 here. And verse 10. It says here, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And you know, the church of Jesus Christ is meant to be the revelation of the manifold wisdom of God to the world and to the principalities and powers. And the only way we can do that is when we are spiritual beings, when we flow in the Holy Spirit. We are meant to be the revelation of God's wisdom and God's power in the world that we're walking in. And that includes each and every one of us. But the only way that we can do that is when we flow in the Holy Spirit. Because as I said earlier, what is it that makes us different from everybody else? If it's not that the Holy Spirit is in us. If it's not that the Holy Spirit works through us. If it's not that the Holy Spirit is able to speak through us. That we're able to lay hands on somebody or speak a word to somebody. And you see, the whole purpose of these gifts, the whole purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is so that we could edify the body of Christ and so that we can be a witness to everyone out there that God is here and that God is doing something. You understand? And you see, we're supposed to be flowing in the spiritual gifts. There's supposed to be manifestations of the Spirit. Because if there isn't, what sets us apart? What makes us different? And so that's why he said here, covet earnestly the best gifts. Because we're supposed to be flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. And I wonder, is there anybody here tonight that would like to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? Is there anybody here ready to receive a gift of the Spirit? Because God wants to bestow one on you. God wants to bestow a gift on you. But you know what? You're going to have to pursue it. You're going to have to covet it. You're going to have to say, Father, manifest these gifts to me. Pray down through the list. Go down through the list and see what they are and pray. And say, Father, manifest your gifts in me. And just watch what God does. And then when God starts to give you a word, sometimes you might come tentatively. But when God gives you a word, come and share it with us. Say, you know, I believe the Spirit of God is saying this. And we'll be able to tell you. We'll be able to guide you. We'll be able to lead you. So that you can hear clearly from the Spirit of God. Amen. But God wants us to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. Hope.